Amen. Isn't that good? Let's just praise the Lord together. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Glory, 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 glory. I so enjoyed the flow of the prophetic this morning. You know, for me, that's not a disruption from the singing. Because we don't come here on a Sunday morning to sing and have a sing song. You can go to other places where they have sing songs. But when you get together with the bride, the church, the body of Christ, and we come to make declarations of our gratitude and of His glorious greatness, He wants to stir us up by the prophetic. And the prophetic came strong this morning. And I thank God for that. What Norma doesn't know is I'm teaching on the rock today. What others didn't know was what they said, how it fitted into the orchestral big picture of praise and worship. And even that noise inside my head that's starting to worry me, I know it's going to go away because I speak by faith and not by sight. Amen. Amen. Let me say, it's a good time to give thanks to the Lord. And more the revelation of His goodness and His greatness is coming to us, the more and more opportunity we have of celebrating. And I predict that if you will just keep pressing in to where that anointing is, pressing in, like they used to say in the good old revival days, sit under the spout where the glory comes out. If you will just make yourself available in that place where the presence of God is being hosted, and you will stir yourself up like the Bible says, and like we did this morning by praying in the Spirit on every occasion, I'm telling you, church, what we think is crazy today is going to be ordinary. You know, for 20 years, I've been hearing revival and signs and wonders and the power of God being proclaimed. And yes, there's been steady increases in here and there and here and there. But the full measure of that wave has not hit us yet. And I tell you, when it does, those of us who are trying to catch our breath now are going to be under the water a whole lot longer. So you better be carbo loading. You better be building up your oxygen reserves. Because when that wave comes, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I'm not just talking about the one day. Times like we have this morning are not times to spectate. They're times to participate. And it's not just stirring up some rah-rah thing. It's because we have a bride who's madly in love with us. And all He's doing is He's strengthening us. He is equipping us. And in an atmosphere of worship, there are weapons that are being handed out that if you have eyes to see, you will take hold of weapons that are going to position you when war comes to be on the front foot and not the back foot. But if we are not seeing what He's providing and getting revelation on the weapons of our warfare in good times, like when we are in the safety of basic training, then when the storms hit, we go scoundering around looking for someone who knows something who can help us. So these are times when God is equipping us. Can you say amen? I want to invite those taking up the offering. Would you please come up as we prepare to take up the offering? Just as you take your offering in your hand, if you take what's represented in your EFT, and as the credit card machine gets passed around this morning, take your credit card in your hand. Just kidding about the credit card. Would you say after me, Father God, thank you for the gospel. Thank you that I get to be a partner in the gospel. at Highway Christian Community on the 9th of December 2012. Through my giving, I'm a co-worker. I give not to be blessed. I am blessed. I give not to open the heavens. The heavens are open. But I give as a privileged opportunity to see a harvest of souls and of resources to get the job done. In Jesus' name, amen. As we do that, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in your Bibles, please. I'm glad you brought your Bible this morning. Maybe Ryan can follow me on the electronic screen. If you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. While you're turning there, let me just notify you that during the course of the week, someone came forward very generously offering to buy a stock of the Highway to Grace books, which are our kind of testimony of our journey together as a church. And they're wanting to make them available to people here in the church, either who don't have the book, and that 100 rand that you were going to pay for it always goes somewhere else, but you need to get the book. So if you'd like to pick up a free book after the service, they will be available at the bookshop and at the table. And then also for folk who've got a book, who've got the Highway to Grace, but are wanting to have a book to give to somebody who they think will be benefited. And if you want to purchase it, that's great. That helps cover the expense of the book. But if not, there are books available that someone has purchased, and they've made a whole lot available that you can get after the service. So isn't that a nice Christmas present? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you for their generosity. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of one loaf. Here we have the picture of the communion table that we're going to share in shortly. That we are not just participating symbolically in something that happened 2,000 years ago, but we are partaking in the sacrifice itself. In the same way is that the children of Israel, when they brought their offerings, be it the Passover or one of the other feasts, when they brought their offering and the animal was sacrificed, they then would partake of a meal together, consuming the sacrifice into their body. As he goes on in the next verse 18 and says, consider the people of Israel, do not those who eat the sacrifice participate in the altar? So there is a participating that we take. When we take the bread, when we take the blood, that we are not promoting transubstantiation, which is the belief that it actually physically, literally becomes blood and flesh. We don't go that far. But we also don't stay in the position of just being symbolic. We believe there's a spiritual change. As we participate in the blood and the bread, that there is real, the essence of Christ's sacrifice that is being deposited into our physical bodies. That's beyond just a piece of cracker and a bit of grape juice. Now, this all traces its theological roots back to the book of Exodus. If you want to just flip back in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, we see that the Passover was the foundation of this doctrine, and it was the very feast that Jesus and his disciples were celebrating at this time, when he took the bread and said, this is my body, and he took the cup and he said, this is the blood. And the context of this Passover meal goes all the way back to the beginning of Exodus with the calling of Moses. God then says to him, you need to go and... Let's read chapter 6. Let's read from verse 1. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand. He will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by the name of Lord, which is El Shaddai, I did not make myself known to them. There's progressive revelation as God, through his names, shows more and more of his character as people are able to understand the essence, his characteristics, his attributes. And he's saying that when I made this covenant, I showed a part of myself, but now I'm wanting to show more of myself. It's interesting that God always roots his promises back to the covenant that he made with Abraham. Because the Mosaic covenant only came in as a parenthesis. Because the Abrahamic covenant was the covenant God intended for his people. It was a covenant of faith. God wants us to live by faith. The Abrahamic covenant was a faith-based covenant. So he's saying, I made this covenant based on faith. I revealed some of my nature, but now I'm going to reveal more of my nature. And it goes on in verse 4, and I will establish my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I've heard the groanings of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving and have remembered my covenant. Say covenant. See, this is all about, this is covenant language. When we talk about the communion table, when we talk about the bread and the blood, we're talking covenant language. And God now is speaking to Moses, referring to the covenant, then starts this whole sojourn out of Egypt. First of all, Moses goes to Egypt, his heart is hard. The plagues come, chapter 7, plague of blood, chapter 8, plague of frogs, plague of gnats, plague of flies. Chapter 9, plague of livestock, plague of boils, plague of... Whole calamity falls upon Egypt. The plague of the locust, chapter 10, chapter 11, plague of the firstborn. Right down, and in chapter 12, we pick up now God is ready for his people to come out of Egypt according to his promises, and they have the celebration of the Passover. And that chapter 12 is so full of beautiful pictures of typology. And prophetic, looking forward to what Christ would do, but that's not the purpose of this morning. But to go to verse 31, they begin leaving Egypt. Chapter 13, they consecrate themselves to the Lord. And then chapter 13, verse 17, they cross the sea as on dry land. The Egyptians try to follow. In chapter 14, they are drowned. And they are now in the wilderness, a few days' journey from the promised land that God has promised to them, to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in a covenant. And now they're standing on the fringe of their covenant rights and promises, and we see how happy and rejoicing they are. In verse 10 of chapter 14, Exodus still, as Pharaoh approached and the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Hey, what is happening here in this wilderness? Hey, what have you done to us? Why are you bringing us into this Egypt? Didn't we say, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. No, they never said that. It's amazing when we go through hardships, we look back on our last hardships and think they weren't hardships. They were the same hardships. And then Moses speaks to God about the situation. God says, don't worry, I've got this sorted out, Moses. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand, the sea opens, and the rest is history. Comes down, and chapter 15, verse 19 says, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought down the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. When Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing, singing, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord and the rider has hurled to the sea. Oh, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider are hurled to the sea. Chinka, chinka, chin. Remember our Israeli dancers of the 70s? The horse and the rider are cast into the sea. Okay, that's where it comes from, all right? And now these people should be so happy. They should be so happy. Let's pick up the story, the next verse, 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding any water. Then they came to Marah. They could not drink the water there. Verse 24. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what are we to drink? Now, this is the second mumbling session in just a couple of days. The first one is because there's a sea in front of them. God shows his power. They're still singing the horse and rider, and they start grumbling because there's no water. And God says, calm down, guys. Verse 26. If you listen carefully to my voice, the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all the decrees, I will bring you, won't bring any of these diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. Now, immediately, we got to get this correct, that they're still living under an Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic covenant was only going to be formed a few chapters later. But in the Abrahamic covenant, there was such a thing called obedience. But the difference between, there's a big difference between the obedience of faith and the obedience of law, which we should know by now. Obedience of faith, faith produces obedience. You hear God speak, you say, yes, Lord, that's obedience. I will do what you said. God says, that's a good way to live. It's a life of faith. Faith with obedience. Obeying simply out of law and rules and the fear of punishment or the promise of reward is a very lower level obedience that God doesn't want for his people. Anyway, enough said of that. They haven't finished their grumbling, because in the next chapter, in verse 3, it says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron because they didn't have food. So God provides them food. He thought about these things before. God had known he was going to open the sea. God had known he was going to give them water. God knew that there was going to be food, you know, manna burgers and Kentucky Fried manna and manna pizzas. And you know, he knew there was going to be manna, but before he got to provide, they got grumbling. But every time he grumbled, God just said, keep on obeying my covenant, referring to the Abrahamic covenant. Keep on obeying my covenant. It's going to go well with you guys. Don't worry. I've taken care of all the needs you're going to be facing over the next little while. They keep on grumbling. They keep on grumbling. Now we get down to chapter 17. Still before Sinai. Why I'm emphasizing the before Sinai and after Sinai is because, you can take it off now, thanks, is the before Sinai, when they grumble, God takes care of their needs. What happened when they grumbled the first time after Sinai? 5,000 perished. The playing field changed radically. First covenant was Abrahamic covenant. God said, I don't want you living grumbling. I want you to live by faith, the obedience of faith. But there was another covenant coming, which was a harsh covenant. But we still, that's why I'm referring to this side of the covenant. We're still this side of the Sinai covenant, chapter 17. And it says here that the whole Israelite community set out from the desert, traveling from place to place. They camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Verse 2, so they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord your God to the test? But the people were thirsty for water, and they grumbled against Moses, and they said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? And the implication of all their moaning is picked up again in verse 7, where it says, because the Israelites quarreled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? This was quite a serious accusation they were bringing. Is the Lord among us or not? But they'd forgotten one thing. They'd forgotten that Pharaoh's heart had been changed. They'd forgotten that they had come out with all the treasures of Egypt. They'd already forgotten that the sea had opened. They'd already forgotten that God had provided water and food. And he said, I'm going to take care of you. None of you will be sick. Your shoes will not perish. I will provide for you. It's only a 40-day journey, guys. We're going to get to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. They'd forgotten all that, and now they are bringing a very serious allegation against God. They're saying, is God actually with us? This is quite serious. This is like treason. This is when the troops get together and form a little committee out of the authority of the official authority structure and form a little group of who are they to tell us what to do? How do we know? Who put them in charge? Maybe God's not even with us. And this is getting quite serious now. They are, in fact, guilty of treason, punishable by death right now. Now, let's look at how God deals with them. It says, so verse 3, why did you bring us into this place to die of thirst? Verse 4, then Moses cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. High treason, mutiny. And the Lord answered Moses, walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. This is an indication of the authority being reestablished in the nation. Moses called to God with the rod, the staff in his hand, the same rod that had brought punishment on those who resisted the purposes of God in Egypt. With the leadership, with the elders, they go and they stand in front of the people who are now guilty of high treason and guilty of mutiny, now bringing accusations against God. To Moses, who do you think you are? And to, we don't even know if God is with us. They've already forgotten everything that God had said and promised. Now, before we get too hard on them, let's just be real about ourselves. How often have we forgotten the good things that God has done for us because we're faced with this one little situation, and now we say, is God really for us? Is God really with us? It's like we're at the beach. We go down with our kids, picnic basket, chairs. We sit there, open the picnic basket, take out the cold drink, take out the sandwiches. My little grandson's running around. My kids are doing their thing. Oh, where are the chips, Dad? I look through all the things that I remember to carry down from the house, and I forgot the chips. And now all of a sudden, you just think of yourself all the time. All of a sudden, they've forgotten who it was that put petrol in the car, drove them all the way down from Durban, who paid for the car himself, lest I remind them, had the holiday home prepared, took them down to the beach. They forgot all that because of this packet of chips. At moments like that, you want to have a baptism service in the sea. One of those baptism services where you wait till the bubble stop. And I'm sure that's how God must have felt with this bunch of Israelites. Why didn't I just leave them in Egypt? Why didn't I just let the sea cover them? Why didn't I? God wasn't having those thoughts. Moses might have had those thoughts. In fact, he did have those thoughts. But the people had forgotten all this. And God says they are guilty of high treason. This is what you've got to do. We're going to reestablish the authority that I gave you. You take your staff. You stand before the people with the leadership. They know that there's serious business happening. And then the next verse says, verse 6, "And I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or is he not?" So yeah, there's been a twist in the drama. One minute you have a law courtroom scenario. The next minute, God says, "I will go and stand where? In front of you." So now God says, "My presence will go between you and the people." Moses is coming to bring judgment. He's coming to exercise authority to those standing in front of him. God says, "I'm going to come and stand in front of you. And then I want you to take this rod, and I want you not to beat the people. I want you to strike the rock. And from the rock, life-giving water is going to flow." That quick history trip, to go back to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, where we've just spoken about the participation in the blood and the body of Jesus. Go back up the chapter from verse 16 right up to verse 1 of chapter 10. If we can have that up. "For I did not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." What a prophetic picture of a grumbling, complaining people that we are often and a lot of the time, who stand condemned of treason. You know, whenever we forget the goodness of God that He's shown in our lives, and we stop looking at the half full and we look at the half empty, we are actually making an accusation against God's character. When we're going through difficulties, and when you go through difficulties in your life, and you stop remembering the goodness that God has had in the past and all He's done since the cross, we are bringing an accusation against God, saying, "I don't think you are who you say you are. I don't think you can do what you say you can do. I don't think your covenant is actually as wonderful as you say it is. Because I've been praying for this one, for this for so long, and I've been giving to that for so long, and I've been going to this church for so long, and I've been doing all these things, but I don't even know if you're here." We think we're justified. You know, the pot speaking back to the potter. The clay speaking to the potter. We think, hey, that's all right. And I heard someone recently say, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to have a good talk to God about this, this, and this." I said, "Oh, really? You have committed high treason. When you forget what God has promised in His covenant, when you forget the goodness that God has showed in our lives, in these testimonies we hear, we are standing in mutiny against Him, and we deserve the penalty of judgment, the penalty of high treason, which is death. But the rock." And God says, "I myself will stand." He didn't just say, "Take this rock on the cart and put it there." No, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus stood up at the feast on the last day. He said, "If anyone is thirsty, those who believe, come and drink. And from your belly will flow rivers of living water." And this He was speaking about the Holy Spirit who who are still to come. The Holy Spirit has come to live inside you. You who could never be righteous enough to have God's Holy Spirit living inside you. Jesus, the rock, was beaten for you. Jesus, the rock, was broken for you. So that he could send the living water, the Holy Spirit, to come and live inside of you. You could never have been good enough to be qualified to have God's Spirit living inside you. It had to be supernatural. It had to be a miracle. And God did the miracle when he said, I will stand between you. I, Emmanuel, God with you, God in the flesh. I will come as the rock from which we drink living water. Says, I will come and position myself in front of you. This is the table that we participate in. This is the table 10 verses later, where he says, isn't the bread a participation in that body, that rock that was broken? Won't the guys serving just come up and we're just going to pass the communion down? If I can ask, maybe Steve, you can, instead of getting the worship up, if you can just organize for us. And if we can just prepare our hearts. I felt in preparing this message, there's a prophetic sense of God's pleasure over his bride. But at the same time, there's a strong warning. Do not grumble. Do not complain. Because that is not of faith. And the covenant we are in, the covenant that Jesus said, take my body, take my blood, I'm making a new covenant. That new covenant was not the Mosaic covenant. It wasn't based on works. It's based on faith. And faith says, God is good. God has intervened. God will fulfill his promises. God's covenants are secure. If we can start handing out the elements, please. God's covenants are eternal. God's promises are without repentance. What he says, he can do. Though he slay me, yet I will praise him, for I know my Redeemer lives, and I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. For my God shall work all things together to good for those who love him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He forgives your sins and heals your diseases. Though the fig tree doesn't blossom, though there are no figs on the vine, though the flock be scattered, the Lord is God, and he is true. At all times, bless him. At all times, his praise, sing and declare. He is the rock that was slain, the rock that was beaten, the rock between our punishment and a holy, righteous court of the universe. Standing there, the righteous court of the universe that needed justice to be upheld, needed justice to be wrought, stood poised, waiting for justice to be carried out. And Jesus said, it is written. It is written. I will take a body. I will take on flesh. I will be born amongst them. I will live the perfect life they could never live. I will pay the price they could never have paid. And they will receive my Holy Spirit living inside of them to be a bride who will shine for eternity. When there's darkness on the nations, thick darkness over all nations, he says, my church will arise, for the enemy will come in as a flood, but my church is clothed in my Spirit. They are dressed in my Spirit. They have the conquering power of my Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And my Father is for them and not against them. And whatever you ask in my name, it shall be done. If you will agree, it's touching anything. For you live under a covenant of grace, a covenant of peace, and a covenant of faith. Only believe what he says and step out in that. Cease grumbling, cease complaining, seek any kind of talk that minimizes the goodness and the favor and the truth of God's word. Be done with words of vanity, words of foolishness. He says, but this day I call heaven and earth to witness that you are not in a covenant of fear, but a covenant of faith. So Lord, even now as we come around the table and we participate like the children of Israel did at the Passover, that this was the real Passover meal that had been burnt, sacrificed on flames, that had been consumed by the flame on the sacrifice. That same meat they took and put in their mouths. That same food they chewed and digested. And in the same way, Lord, this morning as we take this communion, we participate in the life of the one who was the living water, the one who is the bread of life, the one who laid down his life, the rock that was beat. So as we take the communion this morning, Lord, I pray for supernatural confirmation of this word. I pray for healing. I pray for deliverance. I pray for restoration. I pray, Lord, where there's been a grumbling, that grumbling will stop. That repentance is a change of mind. It's changing our mind. That right now, if you are prone to grumbling, complaining, and whinging, there is a moment right now for a change of mind to take place. It's a supernatural change of mind. It's called repentance. It's a gift that He gives to you right now. Right now, receive it. Receive it. If it's healing for your body, receive it. Receive it. If it's wisdom for a work situation, take it. Take it. If it's wisdom in a family situation, in a relationship that you, as we heard this morning, the prophetic word that people are struggling with right now, as we take the communion table, communion bread and the communion wine, we're taking hold. We are participating in the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if I could have some communion, anybody that has not received yet, if you have not received and you can't see it coming your way, just raise your hand. Thanks. If you can't see the cup coming your way, won't you just raise your hand so that we can get to you? Everybody got it. Won't you, let's stand up together. Won't you say after me, Holy God, Holy God, righteous. Thank you for Jesus, for His body broken, for His blood poured out. And I participate this morning as I come in faith and partake of this communion. I eat health to my body. I eat forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future. I'm celebrating a new creation. I'm celebrating everything your covenant has for me. As I take of this cup. So let's share it together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray healing, wisdom, strength, favor, faith where there was fear, Lord, joy where there was sorrow, and the cup. Worship you, Lord. 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 Holy, Lord God Almighty. You might be thinking, if someone was here this morning and they not born again, can they partake of the communion? Well, let me answer it very simply. We don't first clean ourselves up to come to the communion table. We come to the communion table to get cleaned up. That's the first thing. Whoever partook of that cup and that bread with faith this morning, whether they've previously been born again or not, the moment you did that, faith was given to you. And I'm saying this because maybe there is somebody here this morning. You don't know if you've ever been born again. But when you took the communion this morning, you did it in faith. Let me say that by doing that, that's all it takes to receive everything He has for you. But you need to witness that to somebody. You need to tell somebody about what you've done. Because it's that agreement that enforces that action. It's that agreement that solidifies that. So if you did that this morning and you partook of the communion, you say, I don't even know I was born again, but today I believe. When I dismiss the service, please don't run away. I'm going to wait here for a few minutes. I want you just to come to me. Just come and acknowledge. Come and say what you did. I would just have a great privilege and joy of looking you in the face and just coming into agreement with what you did today. Amen. God's grace and favor just be multiplied to everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.